But you guys can go ahead and turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to go there in just a moment. What we have been discussing more than anything since really the beginning of the year in Athens. And it was good to see Anthony up here leading songs. Anthony, I'm sorry, man. You're going to hear some repeat stuff today, probably. But that means either the Lord's way of telling me that I didn't do it right the first time, or maybe you just didn't get it the first time. So we'll have to... But it'll work out for both of us, I think. But anyway, what we've been talking about almost every week, with a few exceptions here and there, is we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's what I've predominantly been studying in my personal Bible study since the beginning of the year. The Holy Spirit has been the topic we've predominantly spoken about. And one of the reasons why we talked about it so much is, if there was one thing I was hearing across the board in the church, and it didn't matter how long someone had been a disciple, someone maybe for years, some possibly even for decades, some fairly new, but all of them felt like, I really haven't learned as much as I would like over the years about the Holy Spirit. We haven't talked about it that much. So we've just been doing a series of lessons and sermons on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share with you some of the things that we've talked about and shared with the church today. But I would really encourage you, if you've never done that on, to really get into the Bible and study out the role of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing just to see what the Bible has to say, things that jump off the page of you, connections you begin to make because you see the Spirit involved in things you never even really thought about the Spirit being involved in, which is pretty much everything. The Bible tells us by the Holy Spirit that we're washed, that we're sanctified, that we're made holy. It's by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, that we're given the power to live the Christian life. Jesus provides the image. Jesus provides the target. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to hit it. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to begin becoming like Him. He talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Himself with ever-increasing glory. And that really revolutionized my whole view of why I'm even a disciple, when I realized that the whole purpose of my life is to glorify God so that others will be drawn to Him. And our purpose as a church is to glorify God so that others will be drawn to Him. Because when people see God, they are drawn to Him. How does He want to be seen today? His plan is to be seen through His people, through His church. And so when people see us loving like Jesus, serving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, striving to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, striving to imitate the holiness of Jesus, people are impacted. They're drawn to God. And then He can save them. And what is it that God wants to do? He wants to give people the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit so that He can begin to make us into what we were meant to be. We were meant to be as much like Jesus as possible. He's constantly transforming us more and more into the image of Jesus. Every time you take a step of faith and choose to obey the Bible, every time you take a step of faith and choose to respond to a person, a situation, whatever, the way you believe Jesus would have you respond to it, you're allowing the Holy Spirit within you to form you more and more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what He talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. That's what it's talking about in Galatians 5, 22, when it talks about the fruits of the Spirit being formed in us. We aren't capable of forming the fruits of the Spirit in ourselves. It's the Spirit that forms them in us. But those character changes, becoming what those verses describe, a person of peace, a person of patience, a person of self-discipline, you know, all of those different person, all of those different qualities are being made more and more naturally by the Spirit in you as you in faith strive to follow Jesus, right? And so when I now recognize that the whole purpose of me being a disciple is to give the Holy Spirit free reign to make me into what I'm supposed to be. And that revolution is not a list of do's and don'ts. Being a disciple is not a spiritual obstacle course I have to run for God to approve of me. It's not a bunch of rules I'm supposed to follow so God will remain pleased with me and love me. Although He's certainly pleased when I try to obey. It is actually the doorway, the pathway to allowing the Holy Spirit to make me into what I'm supposed to become. It's Jesus reaching out His hand and say, come, follow me, walk in my footsteps. I'm going to navigate you through this life so you can be remade into what you were supposed to be, right? And that would explain a lot about why it's in following Jesus that we find life to the full. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit some today. And in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4. And I'm at that point, man, I got to pull out these glasses now when I... We had the teen prom at Athens last night, the Athens building last night. Hope you guys had a good time. And I went over there for a little while. People were rocking there, having a good time. And my wife, incidentally, my wife Meredith couldn't be here today. Meredith is a hospice nurse, and she is on call this weekend. And so while normally that doesn't interfere with her being at church in Athens, she does have to stay within a certain proximity so that if they call her, she can respond quickly. So that's why she is unable to be here today. But last night, she had been on call all day in duty. So she said, well, I want to run by the prom and check it out and see how it's going. So I said, fine, I had just left there, but I'll turn around and go back and meet you. And I met her there. It was like someone had let her out of a cage, and she was 16 again. She's just running all over the place dancing. And so then finally, she said, come out here, you're going to dance with me. I said, I just ate a big dinner. I'm a 50-year-old man. These young kids, I don't know that I wanted it. I said, you need to get out here and dance. So I go out there and dance. And the next thing I know, the campus kids and the teen kids from out see me, and they surround me. And it's like I felt like I was being prepared for like some cannibalistic sacrifice or something like that, because they're dancing around me and throwing up their hands. So I start doing it, and we're having a good time, and we're jumping and pumping it up, and they're having a blast. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, just please let me get through this song, you know, because I'm already tired, and help me not throw up. You know, that's what I'm thinking. And I look around as it's ending, and my wife has withdrawn and is off to the side. So she totally did me wrong. She like got me in the middle of that, and then she withdrew. But we had a good time. We had a really, really good time. I'm sure one of the kids will do their part to humiliate me and post that somewhere later, and it will haunt me forever. But anyway, Luke chapter 4. See how I just get off on tangents and stuff like that? People in Athens are used to it. They've learned to love me in spite of it. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, this is talking to him about Jesus right after he's been baptized, and it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And if you remember at Jesus' baptism, it said that John the Baptist saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. And so we know that Jesus, his life was a life led by the Spirit. His life was one of being filled with the Spirit, right? Led by the Spirit of God. Verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them was hungry. Now it's interesting that he receives the Spirit. Where does the Spirit lead him? Out into the desert. Out into the wilderness. You know, most people don't want to be in a wilderness. And most people don't want to have to confront strong temptation from Satan. A lot of times we think that, well, if God is really with me and the Spirit's really with me, I'm not going to be going through this difficult time in my life. I'm not going to be going through this hard challenge in my life. But sometimes the Spirit leads us into the wilderness. And I just said in a class where a brother did an awesome job of going through the story of David and Bathsheba and talking about sin and how the consequences of sin can bring hardship a lot of times. And it certainly does. But other times, hardship just comes. It might be the consequence of your sin. It might be the consequence of someone else's sin. Or it might just be life. But the important thing to remember that I always cling to during those times is, you know, my role as a disciple never changes. Whatever the circumstances, just strive to be righteous. Amen. Right? Just strive to be righteous. Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. All I can really control is, can I be righteous in this situation? And so sometimes the wilderness, you're not in the wilderness because God is displeased with you. Sometimes you're in the wilderness because God believes in you and has a plan for you. And the wilderness is where you're going to be refined, right? And so sometimes the Holy Spirit takes us there. But he says, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him alone until an opportune time. And I read that entire passage because all of it will, to some degree, be relevant to what we talk about this morning. But the main part I really want to focus on is there in verse 1, where it talks about how Jesus was full of the Spirit and was led by the Spirit. Because I think those are things that we tend to have questions about today. I think we at least understand the concept of needing to resist temptation, right? Temptation leads to sin. Sin, again, like a great lesson before church today about how sin leads to death and harsh consequences. So not that we've all mastered it like we want to, but we at least understand the concept of, I know what it means to say no to temptation. You have the chance to sin, you feel the urge to sin, you choose not to sin, okay? I can at least understand how that works. A little more abstract and perhaps a little more mysterious to us is the notion of, what does it mean to be full of the Spirit? And what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? I know the idea of being led by something, it's like letting the Spirit take you and lead you through life, but how do you do that? How do you know? And it's created a lot of confusion. And I think there's a lot of people, some are nervous about looking at the subject because they tend to associate being full of the Spirit or being led by the Spirit with these incredibly emotional experiences, which may or may not be experienced by someone who's really a righteous person. But, you know, they tend to associate the Spirit more with emotion and with, this is what I'm feeling, and so this must be the Spirit taking me here, or whatever. And so we need to, as best we can, a little bit sift through some of that and talk about this idea of being full of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to start out by talking a little bit about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. One of the best things about doing a thorough study on the Holy Spirit is that I find it has increased my confidence and faith that I can really say no to sin, that I can really be bold when I need to be, because it increases your awareness both of who the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of God Himself in you, that he has given you the power to do and be everything that the Bible calls you to do and be. You just have to believe it. You just have to believe it and believe that you have it. I took my two oldest sons. I have five children. I have my daughter Emerson, who's about to be a rising junior in high school, who was at the prom last night, hence my presence there a little bit. By the way, her mother withdrew when I started dancing. My daughter really withdrew when I started dancing. She was like, I don't know that guy. I really don't know who that is. And then I have four sons, 13, 11, and 8-year-old twins, okay? And my youngest, Samuel and Asher, actually were born in Ethiopia. So that's one reason why I'm so excited about what we're doing to help the church in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia and stuff. But I took my two oldest boys. I hadn't done anything with them for a while. They were going to a movie. So I took them to the movie Shazam. I said, okay, we'll go see Shazam. And there's a scene in the movie where the villain is told that he needs to find this new good champion. This guy who's become Shazam says, you must find him and destroy him before he realizes his full potential and power. Otherwise, he will be unstoppable. And so the villain goes off to find him and destroy him before he can figure out all the power he's really inherited and how powerful he really is. That's kind of how Satan is towards us with the Holy Spirit. I must destroy them. I must deceive them before, because if they ever find out how much power God has actually put at their disposal, that if they actually find out how powerful they are when it comes to resisting temptation, if they would just believe it and take a step of faith. How do you take a step of faith? Obey whatever you think you're supposed to obey right then based on your knowledge of the Word of God and the spiritual advice that you're getting, right? If they ever figure out that it's that simple and they're that powerful, I'm not going to have any sway over their lives anymore. And so Satan wants to keep us intimidated by the notion of the Holy Spirit, not learning how powerful we've been made by the Holy Spirit and all of that, right? But the more you read and study the scriptures where you really delve into the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to become aware of, wow, I have been given a lot of power. If I would just believe it, if I would just believe it, I'm far more capable of being a strong disciple and growing as a man or woman of God than I've given myself credit for. But in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8, Paul's writing, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Let me stop right there for a second. That is the key question that is always at the forefront of the mind of a spiritual man or woman of God. Amen. What pleases the Lord? That's being a disciple of Jesus right there in a nutshell. What is my life about? In the situation I'm in now, in the life circumstances I have, in my personal everyday comings and goings, what would please the Lord? What would please the Lord about how I do my job? What would please the Lord about how I interact with this person? What would please the Lord in the way that I handle this conflict? What would please the Lord in the way I handle my dating life or who I choose to date? What would please the Lord in the way I conduct my marriage and my parenting and interact with my parents? Whatever the situation is, whatever the real life everyday situation is, what would please the Lord? And one of the things you will discover, and I don't have time to get into it as much today as I will, but before we even talked about this concept of how you know you're being led by the Spirit in Athens, before we even got to this part, we did a whole lesson just looking at what does the Bible say about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the mind and the mindset. Go read Romans 8. It says that the person who lives by the Spirit is the person who has their mind set on the things of the Spirit. There's a lot in the Bible about the mind and mindset. And this is the part that you play. The Spirit's going to do a lot of things that we're not capable of that actually make us into the men and women of God we're supposed to be. But one of the big parts we play, we choose what to set our minds on. And if you really want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must first decide. You must. The most important thing to me in my life is what pleases the Lord. I must want to be surrendered to His will. I must want to live under His lordship. That must be, in a nutshell, my mindset. Go read Romans 8. Go read Colossians 3, the beginning of the chapter, talking about just the role of the mind and the things that we're supposed to think of. There's a lot in the scriptures. Philippians 4:8, right? You know, whatever is noble, whatever is good, focus on these things. Think about these things. The Bible tells us, Paul in his writings to the Corinthians, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. A lot of us, one of the ways Satan lies to us is he gets us to think you are a slave of your mindset. And the Bible tells us you are the master of your mindset. Don't believe you're a slave to that which you're actually a master. Now, for some people, I realize there are special situations where you have people who need particular, you know, maybe they need some help and some counseling, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for most of us, for many of us, we perhaps are too quick to succumb to the notion of, I'm just a victim of whatever my emotions are. I'm just enslaved to whatever my feelings are. Wherever my thoughts take me, that's where I've got to go. That is contrary to what the Bible says. And that's where I have to make a decision. Am I going to believe the Bible or am I going to believe what my feelings are trying to tell me right now, right? But going on here a little bit more, verse 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Again, what would please the Lord? What is the Lord's will? This is the question that drives the faith and is really the quest of every spiritual man and woman. Amen. I desire to know the will of God. Once you have that mindset, once you've made that decision, what would please the Lord and what is the Lord's will is what matters to me. You have set yourself up. Now you are primed and ready for the Holy Spirit to really work in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is not given to us, like I said, just to keep us out of challenging circumstances, because sometimes it'll send you to the wilderness. It's not given to us so that we can always just feel the way we want to feel or experience what we want to experience. And it's certainly not given to us so that we can put the power of God to work accomplishing whatever agenda we've decided is important to us. The Holy Spirit is given to you to empower you to accomplish that which you said you wanted to accomplish when you got baptized and made Jesus Lord. I want to live for God. Amen. I want my life to be a living testimony to God. I want to be an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit was given to you to empower you to do and empower you to be, right? So, but again, the mindset of trusting it. And he says in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And right here, he compares being filled with the Spirit with, you know, he says, don't get drunk with wine, leads to debauchery, but rather be filled with the Spirit. I think what he's talking about here is that being filled with the Spirit, much like drinking too much wine brings somebody under the influence of a substance, the alcohol that they've consumed, being filled with the Spirit simply means I have come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I am letting the Holy Spirit direct me. And it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit comes in and just puts you on autopilot. Now you have no free will. You don't have to worry about it. I had a friend that I baptized earlier, just right at the end of last year, and we've been getting together every week to continue to do Bible studies and help him get his footing. And he basically said, Kidra, I'm just looking for that time, man, where I just don't struggle with sin anymore. I don't even want to sin. You know, when does that happen? And I said, dude, if I had that answer, I would be making so much money teaching seminars all over the planet, I wouldn't even know you. You know, it's like, no, I'm just kidding. But I said, here's the thing. God is never going to come in and take away your free will. You are always going to have to make a decision to, in faith, obey. You're always going to have free will. It's always going to come down to some self-discipline and some decision. In fact, it even says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that we've been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline is our part. The self-discipline to do what? To believe and therefore take a step of obedience rather than not believe and take a step of disobedience. Right? So being filled with the Spirit is about coming under the influence. And it's interesting. Now, allow me a moment to really bore most of you, okay? When you look at the Greek word that Paul... Well, if I'm going to talk about the Greek word, I got to put my glasses on because I got to look like a professor. The Greek word. Now, when you look at the Greek word he's talking here about being filled with the Spirit, it is a present middle passive imperative. Didn't that sound impressive? Boring, yet impressive, right? Well, that is overall pretty boring, and unless you're really into grammar, that doesn't mean much to you, and quite honestly, it doesn't mean much to me either, but it's actually kind of relevant for this. It is somewhat important for this, and here's why. That's simply a way of categorizing what kind of grammatical word is being used. The fact that it's present means that it's happening in the now. It's an ongoing thing. Paul's not talking about you were filled with the Spirit. And he's not saying you should be filled with the Spirit. He's saying be filled with the Spirit now. That means whoever's reading it, wherever they are, even thousands of years later, this is something to be happening right now. So it's something that should be going on right now. The fact that it's middle passive instead of active means you're not the one doing the action. You are rather submitting to having the action done to you. Just like when you're commanded to be baptized. You're expected to do something, but you're not the one baptizing you, are you? What instead are you really doing? I'm submitting to someone else doing something to me. So what he's saying here is the command is be filled with the Spirit. Submit to letting God fill you with the Spirit. And the imperative part just means that it's a command. Well, how do I do that? Through having the faith to surrender. That's your part and my part, being filled with the Spirit. Have the faith to actually surrender and allow God control over my life. How do I do that? Well, now we're back to the self-discipline part. Now we're back to the having the faith to make a decision part. Aren't we? Now we're back to the part where Satan tries to deceive you into thinking you don't have the power to do this. Yes, you do. Every time you make a decision, I'm going to choose to obey what I believe is right. Boom, you've just handed the steering wheel to the Holy Spirit. That's all I needed. That's all I needed to use you, to mold you, to transform you a little bit more. I just needed you to be willing to surrender. Amen. Now, real quick, I want to just talk about this idea of being led by the Spirit. How do you know you're being led by the Spirit? Because I think most people are starting to say, I want to be led by the Spirit. And again, this is where a lot of people tend to rely on feeling. Or they tend to want to rely on emotion. I was trying to come here this morning and my phone, for some reason, would not let me connect to use my GPS to navigate over here. And I thought, you know what? I need some direction if I'm going to find Meadow Creek, you know, high school. All right. Maybe some of you are glad that I eventually found it. Maybe some of you are wishing at this point that I hadn't found it. But I said, I'm going to need some direction to get over here. What is some of the worst advice? In my opinion, this is some of the worst advice, if not the worst advice, that has been given that our culture has embraced as being somehow wise, profound, noble, meaningful. And it is this. Just follow your heart. Now, when I was driving over this morning, I said, I could just follow my heart. But the odds are very small I'm going to wind up at Meadow Creek High School. And just to show you how unbright I really am, even once I found the school, it still took me another 20 minutes to find you guys. I'm wandering around going, man, everybody at church is playing basketball today. This is really interesting. I was in the middle of a basketball tournament and stuff. But for a lot of people, they associate being led by the Spirit with really, whether they'd word it this way or not, just following your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says what? For those of us who have been around for a while. The heart is deceitful above all things. Proverbs has things to say about a person who just follows the heart. So being led by the Spirit is not an emotional thing. It's not a feelings-based thing. And what I'm going to share with you just real quick, these are four things. This is kind of a progression that I believe is very biblical and that I found helps me understand where I think the Spirit is most likely trying to take me. And then it's up to me whether or not I want to go there, right? Okay. The first thing takes us back to what we just read in Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes to the wilderness. He's tempted by Satan. Satan throws out all these temptations. In each case, how does Jesus start his response to the temptation? It is written, or it has been said in the scriptures, right? The step one to wanting to know if where's the Spirit trying to take me, always, always, always start with scripture. The first question ought to be, has the Bible clearly spoken on this? Has the Bible clearly spoken on this? Why? Because the Spirit is the author of the scriptures. And for the sake of time, I won't have you turn to all of them today, but you can take note of them and turn to them later. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the scriptures actually do what? Judge the thoughts and intentions of what? The heart. So the heart can be deceitful, but there are other places in the scriptures where the heart's talked about in a positive manner. So how do I know if my heart's taking me in the direction the Spirit wants me to go, or how do I know if my heart's taking me in the wrong direction? I start with Scripture. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It is the strainer through which I pour my feelings and emotions and see what comes out on the other side and what stays in the strainer. Amen. All right? So you got to start with Scripture. He talks about in John 6, verse 63 through 64, Jesus says, "My words are Spirit." In John 14, he tells the apostles, you will be reminded of what I have told you by the Spirit. So Jesus' words are Spirit. We find them in the scriptures. The apostles' words are Spirit. We find them in the scriptures. Paul talks about, in 2 Corinthians, let's see, I wrote, or 1 Corinthians rather, verse, chapter 2, verse 10 through 16, Paul goes this out where he says, everything I'm saying, everything I'm teaching, everything I've given you is from the Spirit. So Paul's words, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, are Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 21 talks about the prophets of the Old Testament did not use their own interpretation, but they were carried along as they spoke from the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Those two scriptures tell us that the Old Testament is from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the author of the Bible. Amen. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will never urge you to contradict the Bible, because he would be contradicting himself. So anytime the Bible has spoken, boom, you have your direction. The Holy Spirit is there. Now, sometimes we might be slow to want to believe that. I remember there was a day not too long ago, I walked in and one of my 8-year-old Samuel, who's the sweetest kid in the world, always got a smile on his face. Samuel was sitting there playing with his Legos, and his room was a disaster area, right? It was a train wreck. So I walk in and I say, Sam, I want you to stop playing with your Legos. I want you to go upstairs. I want you to clean your room. And with what I believe was really the utmost sincerity, he kind of paused for a second. He looked up at me. He goes, I'll pray about it. And I thought, no, son, the Lord has spoken on this one. You know, as a, you could pray about it, but when you get done praying, go clean your room. You know, that kind of thing and stuff. But even as adults, sometimes in our lives, we can kind of have this attitude of, the Bible has spoken. Well, I really need to pray about it. You can pray about it. But when you get done praying, that's still going to be immoral. Amen. And when you get done praying, that's still going to be dishonest. When you get done praying, that's still going to contradict what the Word of God says here, here, or here. Right? Again, how is your mindset really what pleases the Lord? Because if the Bible is spoken, discussion over, the Holy Spirit. Now, you might need to pray for the strength to do it. And you might need to pray for the support to follow through on it. You don't need to pray for direction. Direction's been given. But what about those times, and there are a lot of them, where the Bible speaks, but my specific situation, it might not be entirely clear. Kind of got an idea, but there might be some specifics here. I'm not entirely clear. And we're talking about, you know, situations where I really want to know where the Holy Spirit's taking me as far as, should I take this job? Should I live in this place? Should I go out on a date with that person? Should I, what, you know, real life stuff. Because what I've found, if we're honest, is that there's some of my Christianity that comes down to this is right and this is wrong. But at this point in my spiritual walk, there's a lot of it just comes down to, is this wise or is this unwise? You could make an argument under certain circumstances for going either direction, but really, what does the Spirit want me to do right here? So after Scripture, the next thing I look at is prayer. But as you pray for direction, what must your mindset sincerely be? What pleases the Lord? Not, see, what some people do, they'll go to God in prayer, but what they want is, the question is, do you want truth? Do you really want God's will, the truth, or do you want validation? Because the two are very different. The truth is about, I know what I want, but it might not be the best thing. I want the truth. What do you want, God? And then you show me the path I should go, and then that's the way I'll go, because I want your truth. The second is, God, I already kind of know what I want to do, and if truth be told between the two of us, you know I've already kind of decided to do it. But I need some validation so I can appease my conscience or rationalize my actions or whatever. So that's the question you got to answer. But look in Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and many of us are familiar with this passage. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So it's good to know that even when we're not sure if we're praying the right things or praying in the right way, The Holy Spirit is there to help us. Take that prayer, make it what it needs to be. But look what he says in verse 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people, but it intercedes in accordance with what? The will of God. The Spirit is interested in giving you direction and working through your prayers to help you know what you... But you will only clearly understand and see and go where you need to go if you are, like the Spirit, concerned with the will of God. The Spirit's not there to validate your own agenda. He's there to see the will of God. Third thing, people. Many of us are very familiar with how the Bible speaks a lot about getting advice and getting wisdom and getting input. But a lot of times, if after going to the Bible and going to prayer, I'm still not exactly sure. I find that the Bible has a lot to say about getting direction from spiritual people. And so I try to go to spiritual people. I try to go to people who've been there, done that. Right? It's like today, I'm trying to find Meadow Creek High School. Let me call Steve. Steve's made this drive a few times. He can get me there. But you think about the things that matter to you. Don't you tend to want to get input from people who know what they're talking about? Man, if my money matters to me, I want to talk to someone who's good with finances. If my marriage matters to me, let me talk to someone who maybe they've been through this and they can help me figure out how to do this. I remember when I dated my wife, I would call her roommates all the time. Find out, what is she like? What kind of place would she like to go for dinner? I was going to find out if her roommates liked me or didn't like me. Were they going to tell me the truth, or were they going to do something to ensure that I really blew it? You know, fortunately, I think they told me the truth and stuff. That which you tend to care about, you tend to want to talk to people who've been there, done that. Amen. And can help me. So when you really care about the will of God and you're facing something, I've been to the Bible, I'm still not totally sure. I've prayed and I feel like I've got the sincere motives I need. It's still not totally clear. What's the next step? Spiritual people. But make sure they are people who have shown by their lives that they care about the will of God. Amen. Spiritual people. And then finally, and I'm speeding up just a little bit here so we don't run too long, but finally, conscience. What about when I've done all of that? And it's still not abundantly clear that this would be right or this would be wrong or this would be wise or this would be unwise. Maybe I've gotten advice from people and yet for some reason still not sitting well with me. And I really don't feel like it's because I'm trying to push my agenda. I really feel like I'm trying to seek the will of God. But there's sometimes, you know, again, there's sometimes when you might not take advice. Now, you got to live with the consequences of if you don't. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're sinning if you, after getting it, choose to do something different. So long as your motive is what? Sincerely to please the Lord. You might find out later you should have listened. Or you might find out later you were right. Right? Okay. Okay. But I've gone through all that. Or maybe I've gotten advice from 10 spiritual people I really respect. And 5 have said do this. And 5 have said do that. Boy, that's fun when that happens. Well, now it comes down to what is my conscience telling? Now the heart does have a little role to play in the process, right? Look over in 2 Corinthians. We'll close in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. And verse 12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. Again, that's the key, integrity and godly sincerity, right? I sincerely want to do God's will. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. There comes a point sometimes after you've looked at the Bible, you've gone to God in prayer, and you've gotten spiritual advice with sincere motives from spiritual people, that now God says, you know what, you got to make your best call. I'm prepared to use either decision because I know your heart's right. Sometimes it comes down to that as well. But again, the biggest thing that I want to encourage you with is don't ever fall in the trap of thinking being led by the Spirit is an emotional, feelings-based thing. It must start with a mindset that sincerely desires to please the Lord and follow His will. You must let the Scripture speak first. And then if you sincerely want to do God's will, going after it in prayer, through the advice and input and example of spiritual people, And finally, a conscience that sincerely wants to serve God. God has given you the power to be led by the Spirit effectively in your life. Amen. Thank you guys for letting me come speak to you today. I appreciate it.